Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Hello, bad people. Welcome to our show. Hello, guys. Welcome. We don't care, good, bad. We care only value that you can learn on this podcast. So we usually touch topics about digital marketing, SEO. But today I'm so excited to learn more about sales. Whatever I have, any business project, I need to find out how to get sales. That is why I'm so excited to learn more about that with Wes Schaffer. How are you?
I'm good. Hey, we'll take the bad people. We just charge them twice as much. All right.
So anyway, you know, everyone can think they're good. So it's
everyone really, thinks they're good. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Most people can think like that. I don't know, good or bad, because, you know, it's tough to judge themselves. So we are biased about that. Anyway, Wes, you know, I asked my team to find someone who is good with sales. They found you. You know why? Because
So like the first 10 people weren't available and they finally found me?
No. I don't find great salespeople. I need only a great salesperson who can bring a lot of value, who can lead us to the right direction. And probably I can become a customer because I'm looking for great salespeople who can lead my projects. You know, we created a bunch of great AI tools and we're looking for ways how to sell them out. So that is why I'm excited to learn more about that. And when I open your LinkedIn profile, I found why you're good in sales, because you started to provide customers quotes in your bio. It's where, you know, people usually write some nonsense there, but you share a lot of quotes from your customers and tell, look at, if you want to become on this list, please reach out to me. Wes, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that could help our listeners to learn more about you.
Say that again. You asked about my experience?
Yeah, about experience, background, anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was in the Air Force and jumped right into sales from the Air Force. And so people, you know, there's always an argument. Are salespeople born or are they made? And I used to believe, you know, they were born. But now I know they truly are made. Because selling... To be good at sales is, one, to have a desire to serve, right? Seek the best interest in your customers. And two, just learn to understand people. And I say just, but it's hard, right? It's simple, but not easy. But the reality is, as we, you know, people study web design, they learn AI, they learn marketing automation, building funnels and tripwires and all these things. If you can learn that, then you can learn people, because people are just as predictable as a computer input. You know, we hear about AI now, you need a good prompt. Well, the prompt, you're trying to elicit a response. You're trying to create, you know, cause and effect. And you can refine it. Well, the same thing with people. You know, I can compliment you on your jersey. You know, pink looks good on you. Okay, you'll like me. And I'll say, or I can say, Adidas is terrible. You should have Nike. Now you're going to be mad at me, right? So, I mean, it's very simple examples. But if we say the wrong thing, if we say the right thing in the wrong way, if we say the right thing too early, it can blow up a sale. That's why, you know, the program, one of my main programs that I sell and train on, I call it Make Every Sale Program. But the concept is, to make any sale, we must make every sale. And the way I point that out or explain it is just like in dating. You know, if you want to meet someone, let's say you want to meet someone at a nightclub, right? Let's say you want to meet them at a church event. we'll be nice and kind. Before you ever show up, right, you got to think about, what are you going to wear? Do you have clean clothes? Do you shower? I hope so. Do you put on cologne? I hope so, but not too much. You know, do you shave? Like, what's the look you're going for? Do you brush your teeth? All of those are little things, because when you go and approach, you know, this pretty girl you've been eyeing at the church picnic. All of that matters. How you look, how you smell, how you smile. The angle at which you approach her matters. Do you touch her, right? Do you come from behind and touch her on the shoulder? You know, do you spin her around? You know, do you pour water on her head? I mean, all those things matter. And so we have to look at, so just like with an AI prompt, everything you enter affects the output. So to make any AI work, you know, you must make every input correct. So same thing with sales. And I think we forget because of tech, because of the internet, because of high-speed internet, because of smartphones now, because of AI, because of COVID, we're forgetting that there are human beings on the other end of the screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think in these next few years, whoever can become the most human is going to win.
Yeah, nice. Love it, love it. You mentioned about finding these small things that customers might have. And I'm curious how to find them out for new projects. For example, I have a new project. We built our AI tools and we used many different methods. And I know it's a big struggle for any new startup to find first sales. And we got first sales, not bad sales, but things change because we need to change our tools to fix our server. It took some time. And for now, we are going to start again these sales. And how to find these minor things that can impact to our ideal customer profile? Because you mentioned small things, minor things that can impact. But how to collect this data for new projects?
I mean, it can be hard. Like, are you a developer or a coder? Like, in your background?
No, I'm mostly a marketer. So have a team of developers. Sure. And yeah, I usually give tasks because I know what I need to get. And okay. I want to create tools that I want to use myself. So if I don't like it, I don't want to sell them.
yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I was asking because, like, when you go to debug,
okay.
Something, you know, I'm not a coder either. You know, I've learned a little bit of HTML, a very tiny bit of CSS, but you know, a forward slash or a backward slash to us as humans, like, what's the big deal? Colon or semicolon. But to a computer program, it blows up the whole thing. Right. So like before AI and computers now, or, you know, the advanced programs, you know, people would have to scroll through lines and lines of code because maybe one you know, slash is wrong, has a semicolon. So to an experienced developer, you know, they could do that easy. They could quickly scroll, find the error. So you need some repetitions. You know, everybody wants to go so fast. And the reality is, until you are ready, until you have put in enough time and effort, and it's hard. People don't want to hear that, right? But, you know, the difference between a professional and an amateur is that an amateur will practice until they get it right. A professional will practice until they can't get it wrong. Okay, so putting in that type of effort, it's not fun. Mm-hmm. Nobody sees it, you know. So you've got that's a football jersey, right?
Yeah, it's Inter Miami, Leo Messi.
Yeah, Messi. Yeah. Yeah. So, have you seen his work ethic, right?
Of
you
course.
Know, so you see all the greats. You know, I watched that the David Beckham. Did you watch that series? I think it was on Netflix.
Not. I didn't. I prefer to read books, but I have some time, but not a lot.
it was pretty good. But any of the greats at any sport put in a lot of time. So when the camera is on them, when literally the world is watching, they can rise to the occasion. Okay? If I showed up at your door right now and said, come with me, they call it a pitch. Is it a pitch in Europe? Right, the field? Is that what y'all call it?
Yeah.
Or is it
yeah.
field? I don't know. Yeah, I think they call it a pitch yeah. or cricket, they call it a pitch, but maybe.
Yeah, yeah. It's like soccer field in the US, in Europe, yeah. football field. Yeah.
Field. Yeah. So I say, you're going in.
Yeah.
Right. And if you don't score a goal, you know, your nation loses, and all these horrible things are going to happen. You won't be ready.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, so the worst thing that you can have happen is to get too much success or to be placed in front of a huge opportunity and not mm-hmm. be ready. Because what I tell people every day, literally every day, probably a dozen times a day, I get these AI generated emails. I mark them as spam and I delete and block. I mark it as spam, delete the email, block the sender.
Yeah. Okay. I get plus 100 emails a day like that. So, and yeah. but I collect all of them in my spam inbox, you know. So I put okay. in the right place.
Yeah. So you can see what not to do. So you have to, again, just remember there's a human being on the other end. And look, I've used automation tools heavily since 2007. So I'm not against these at all. But you have to use the tools to sort, sift, and separate, okay, to disqualify bad prospects. So then you as a human can spend more time with the good prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and look, there are people that'll ignore this. They want to just, you know, it's all e-com, it's all online, it's all automated. They want to post the pictures of, you know, them sitting in a pool with the laptop on the side of the pool. Like, okay, that's fine. You know, but they're still humans, even with your digital stuff, with your videos, you've got to speak to those people. You've got to move them, okay, alleviate their fear, instill confidence that you understand their problem and that your offering solves their problem, solves it quickly, solves it reliably, solves it accurately, solves it affordably, okay? So, you know, AI can help, and it's getting better every day. But again, I think whoever instills and leverages the most humanity in their marketing and sales efforts is going to win.
You know, you're first person on my podcast, and I had plus 800 people, including Ren Fishkin, Neil Patel, big influencers, and who mentioned about my t-shirt. So you're first, and I can see you're real sales people because you can learn what you can see. You start learning, but. Let's clarify more about that. I mean, like, for example, I bought this thing because in outlet, I found discount, like 70%. So I never buy any t-shirt for like plus $100. But I found it's for $30. That is why I bought it, because I like quality. For me, brands doesn't matter. So Adidas, you have kept Nike, but I care about quality. But my son is different. He's watching these TikTok videos and always tell me, I want to buy this one. You know, when I see some simple sneakers for $200 or, I don't know, any other stuff, simple t-shirt for $150 because one influencer can say to him, wow, you might like it. It's the best t-shirt ever. You know, so we are different. My wife. She's different. She can consume some content on Instagram or to speak with her friends, and she want to buy some fashion stuff. So three people different in one family. Can you tell how to find these simple things in your customers to figure out what kind of interest they have?
One is you can ask them.
Yeah, I think like it's my living strategy to speak with customers, to speak and learn, you know, to learn yeah. from one customer, you know, to get most data, because all online data is useless compared to direct talks with your customers, when you spend time right. with customer. You know, I love this old marketing tactic.
Yeah, because people, you know, you can launch an idea or toss an idea out there. Oh, I would love this. Oh, so you go spend all this time and money developing it, then they don't buy it. You know, mm-hmm. so when people buy, that's a good indicator. So, but a lot of times, like, most people really don't know themselves. You're talking about, everybody said they're thinks they're good, right? Everybody thinks they're rational. They think they're logical. But we buy based on emotions. And sometimes, oftentimes, we don't really know what's driving us. And so reach out to them. See if you can do a survey. You know, maybe you do it. Maybe you hire a third-party company. And that's can always be effective. Asking them, getting down, like, why did you really buy it? Who else did you consider? You know, how long did you, evaluate or consider making this purchase? Who else did you look at? You know, what were the top three criteria? You know, and a lot of times people will kind of open up to themselves as to what their motivating factors were. Study the market, there's join groups. Reddit is powerful for finding information. It's bittersweet, right? Most of them are young kind of fools, but I guess we're all fools when we're young, but they're anonymous. So anonymity is good. It's bad, but it lets them be honest. You know, they'll talk about things that they may not share willingly if their identity was known. So look through user groups. Find where people are using your solution or considering it, or talking about it, and observe, right? And when you ask questions, you know, be upfront about it. Say, hey, I am in this space. I am a provider of this service, of this good. I want to truly know what the heck is going on. What are you looking for? How can we help? What irritates you? You know, because you'll see a lot of times, like Quora was really big. I haven't used it in a while, but it was like people were posting like homework questions, you know? So again, be human. You know, they have a lot of time. Like I follow different, I like watches. And so when people sell a watch, or really, I guess, even like on an AMA, right, they'll hold up a sheet of paper and they're verified, right? So with a handwritten, date and time stamp. So, you can have that and say, no, I am Anatoly. I'm a real person. I'm in this space. Help me make a better product. You know, and people, I think that'll move the needle. And now you get honest feedback. And from there, as long as you know the truth, then you can address the issues. You know how, what actions to take, right? And so, because I think we know the truth when we hear it, and we know when things aren't true. Our little voice, our gut, our instinct, our intuition is like, we're hesitating for a reason. And it's like something feels off. So when you get that aha moment, oh man, you feel like this is the path we have to go down. And then when you're confident, you can move quickly. But the ironic thing is, even if you're not confident, you should move quickly. Because if you're going down a dead end street, you need to get to the end as quick as you can and turn around. You know, there's only so many dead end streets. So once you hit two or three or 23 of them, okay, the only one left is clearly the right path. So make your mistakes quickly. Be bold, move fast, break things.
Of course. You mentioned about email. I will not touch more about that, especially today. According to some data, people get plus 100 emails a day, like 121. So it's tough to stand out from all these emails, because most recipients usually open emails from colleagues, customers, friends. But when you are not on this group, you need to reach out and you have only a few seconds to catch attention, because if we compare that people spend like 20 minutes a day in email, yep, 121 emails, it means like they have like 20 seconds for one email. And you need to catch attention for 20 seconds when your email is not the main priority, because your email is not bringing money to these people or to their business, but you need to catch attention. Of course, it's important to personalize, very important to personalize, but how to personalize to catch attention in the beginning?
I think sometimes we overemphasize the personalization. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I see these emails, these AI-generated emails, putting my name in the subject line. And then they'll open up with, "Hi, Wes Schaefer - the Sales Whisperer. I see you're doing great things with Merge Topic, you know, the sales podcast. I really liked your interview with Joe Blow, and you talked about, you know, sales mastery." Along those lines, I was like, oh, good grief. You know, it's what I have always told my clients is multimedia, multi-step. Okay, and now if you can't do multimedia, if it's just email for the moment, then it needs to be multi-step. Again, just like dating. I prove my love interest by consistently showing up. Okay, I may show up and fumble my words. I may try to write a poem and it's terrible. I may bring roses, but she's allergic to them. I bring her candy, but she has a peanut allergy. Does she get mad or does she appreciate the gesture? Right. And through multiple attempts, I learn her favorite flowers. I learn her favorite food. I learn her favorite movie. And then I narrow down my offering. Okay, but the consistency of showing up, I think, is more important than trying to write the perfect email, because we are busy. And so you've got to consistently show up, because I have emails I want to read that I haven't read. And so really, I spend the day, you know, I start my day sorting through the junk, delete, 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 market spam, block, star, 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 the ones I got to get back to. Then I start at the top of the stars and work down. Okay, so be consistent. You know, we have to entertain or we have to educate. Okay, that's why people take the time to give us their time. You know, it's why they read our stuff. How do you show up consistently without getting blocked? Well, yeah. if you're doing cold email, it's hard. And so everybody is gaming the system, but the system, you can't game Google and Yahoo and Microsoft forever. Okay. So if all you're relying on is cold email, you're going to have problems. You better be warming up the IPs, you have the domains. You better, you know, follow all those best practices. But then you have to send emails that are entertaining or educational. You know, the flattery needs to stop. Okay. It doesn't work. "Oh, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen." Next. She don't want to hear from you. Just like if you meet a celebrity, you know, "Oh my gosh, I love your movies. I watch all your games." They're like, whatever. They don't want to hang out with fanboys.
Yeah.
You know, so these emails that we get, you need to humanize them.
Yeah.
So cut to the chase, include a link to a case study, something informative. But again, we're not being human. Okay. And people are catching on that they're merging, you know, the bot is screen scraping my website. So it's showing me a little GIF of a loom. I mean, whatever, man. I mean, people are figuring this out. So if you are just scraping and blasting cold email, you truly don't care about these people. You're in it for the money. And when you have commission breath, okay, we know it. and you can't give it away. Just like if a guy's desperate at a bar to pick up a girl, the desperation is the biggest turnoff, and you're done. You know, so can you write some informative ads, get people to opt in, you know, then retarget them with even more informative ads, entertaining ads, have a clear call to action, you know, figure out some, upsells, cross sells, downsells. Can you really give value? Again, everybody's trying to do the minimum. They want to do the minimum effort to make the maximum money. And that's always going to keep moving. Yeah. You know, the email, the big ISPs, Google, Yahoo, you know, Microsoft, they're shutting this stuff down, man.
Yeah. You know, you remind me of a book from Dale Carnegie when he said about flattery. You don't need to use flattery. People feel it. You know, it's artificial. They feel it if it's flattery, if it's not real. So,
Let me see.
I think all salespeople need to read this book, like Influence from Cialdini, like Dale Carnegie, who wrote the book like 100 years ago.
So look, so right here from 55 minutes ago, so just before we started, I was just scrolling, delete, right? I marked this as spam. Hey, Wes, it's impressive to see how you've helped businesses significantly boost their sales, like the 27% increase for that tire shop. Figured I'd reach out. So he scraped my LinkedIn, saw the testimonial you're talking about that I put in my about, you know, and then here's the pitch. I'm like, dude, it's so obvious. I get it. You can't customize, you know, 1,000 emails a day, but okay. Nah. But so now you're just working on the large averages, just using numbers, throw enough crap against the wall. Some of it's going to stick. So you got to figure out how you're going to go to market.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to spray and pray? Do you want more of a rifle shot? So, but this guy is now in spam and he's blocked. So he can never use that email address with me ever again.
Yeah. But you know, all the spammers are good to change these addresses.
Reach out again. Oh yeah. They're iterating. They're spinning. I know. Yeah. I know the game.
Yeah. I checked this a few times, you know, when I got the same emails, when I blocked. You know, when I reply to some of them, just in order to understand if these people are the same. Yeah, they're the same. Most of them, I mean, like same. So, and you said it's tough to craft 1,000 emails a day. I have no idea how to craft 1,000 emails a day, but I know some good salespeople who can craft like one email for 5 minutes. You know, they're good with sales. They spend educate to learn fast recipients, spend time on social media to figure out and craft the right emails. Can you tell how to do it? I mean, like, we don't need 1,000 emails, but even how to learn as fast as possible if you need to write many emails?
Well, you can use AI and other tools to at least give you a template. Okay, so you're not starting from scratch, and then you can personalize that template. Mm-hmm. By all means, do that. And it depends on what you're selling, right? If you're selling a higher ticket, higher price thing, 5,000, 10,000, you know, and up, then those prospects warrant a little more effort on your part. Okay, if I'm selling Boeing aircraft, okay, I'm not going to send an AI spun email, you know, to the CEO, you know, of American Airlines. Mm-hmm. You're going to takes a little more than that, right? So I use HubSpot as my CRM. They have templates. I have snippets and other text expanding tools. I have short codes, probably have 150 short codes that will expand everything from my email to my bio to my interview questions. If you have FAQs that are always coming up, that should be. If you have an email that's working, make it a snippet. You know, inside of Gmail, there's you can save templates. And people, they don't use the tools that's already given to them. So like in Gmail, down at the very bottom, when you go compose an email, you have more options. and there's templates. Okay. So you, I've got templates saved even there because sometimes I need them right there in Gmail. So do the research. And again, I'm assuming this is a higher ticket sale. Yeah. If you're, you know, if you're selling $5 widgets, then, you know, that's a direct to consumer. That's, you know, unless you sell, you know, a million at a time, then those people, you can't personalize something, you know, on a direct to consumer low cost item. That's going to be mass marketing. So if it's a bigger ticket item, look at their website, mention something for real, in a humanized message, reference something that you see there. And then again, through experience, you know, like what angle to take, what to mention. Do you bring up sports? Do you bring up soccer? Do you bring up a military background or something? But if you're truly interested in people, and I don't think most people are.
Yeah.
I think they're self-serving, so they don't put in this work. So it's always going to appear insincere, and they're always going to struggle.
Yeah. Wes, you shared a bad email attempt to you. Can you share a good email attempt? Let's imagine you want to sell to Wes Schaffer, you know, great salespeople. So, and let's imagine someone want to sell you military insurance. I don't know, just random example. Share this template that you want to get that can win your attention and, I don't know, to push you to make this decision.
Well, you've got to realize I'm on an initial outreach.
Yeah,
I am not going to buy. Mm-hmm. On the initial, to make any sale, you must make every sale. So number one, you've got to get my attention. You got to pique my curiosity. You've got to get me to reply, to engage, to click a link, to learn more, to register for a webinar, to download a white paper, okay, to watch this demo. So what do you have to do? A, to get delivered. B, to get opened. You know, C, not deleted. D, not marked as spam. E, to read. You know, A, B, C, D, E, F, to click the link, to reply. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here that you've got to figure out. And so a lot of programs, they'll say, you know, shorter is better. So like the subject line, hey, you know, one word, like, yeah, maybe. Yeah, I've got five daughters. If I see some boy say, hey, he's trying to get my daughter's attention, he's going to get my attention. So I don't recommend you do that. Right. Mm-hmm. So you've got to figure out, you know, I call it right angle selling. It's an old concept. But it's kind of like the military. It's a flanking maneuver. It's not coming straight at them. Come from the side, because our prospects always have their defenses up. We're used to getting spam calls, spam emails. So we immediately just say no until somebody proves that they're different. So how do you get my attention? You can mention the military. If you see my background, mention the military. You know, look at my hobby.
Let's imagine,
My hobby is jujitsu, right? I just got my black belt. Mention that. Mm-hmm. That'll at least make me stop and say, what is this about? You know, so does a jujitsu guy need insurance? Yes. You know, now so get into the conversation.
Can find this information online that you love jujitsu, correct?
Yeah, it's in my LinkedIn profile. It's everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I didn't find it. Let me check out again.
Jiu-jitsu. It's in my bio.
In your bio, I see only quotes from customers.
No, on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Click my name.
Okay.
Do you see my biography? What does it say?
Okay. No, I still don't see jiu-jitsu. Read it to me.
Is this that you see stubborn, curious salesman?
Yes.
So towards the end, BJJ? BJJ is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah, in the end. So I only read beginning. Yeah, I got it.
You skipped. You missed probably the most important thing. Yeah. That's what I'm crazy about right now.
Yeah. And
that's why I say to make any sale, you must make every sale. You got to pay attention to everything.
Yeah.
I'm telling you in that bio, everything that matters to me. I'm telling you how to sell to me.
Yeah. Got it.
But we don't pay attention.
Yeah.
Small right?
Team. Yeah.
So again, whoever's the most human,
mm-hmm.
take the extra time. And if you don't know what BJJ is, you know, copy and paste it and do a Google search. Oh, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Okay. You know, it's those little things. You know, I always say small hinges swing big doors.
Yeah.
People are looking for these big, you know, nuclear bombs. And, you know, it's a little rifle shot, a little 22 that gets the job done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not fun. It's not exciting. You know, it's like in golf. Everybody buys brand new drivers, $500, $600, $800. They go to the range, smash the driver. And you know, a golf course, the driver is only going to be used 14 times maximum. But the course is designed to make you putt 36 times. But nobody wants to putt.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a putt this long, right? A three-foot putt is one stroke, just like a 300-yard drive.
Yeah.
But the 300-yard drive is exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it.
You know, people want that emotional high, the big drive, and not the 3-foot putt. You know, if you want to get great at golf, you learn how to putt, you learn how to chip around the green, and you learn how to pitch 50, 100, 150 yards. They say that's the biggest difference between a professional and an amateur is how good are they within 150 yards of the green.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to hit the long ball. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to take your money because I can putt.
Yeah. You remind me, you know, how I spent time to reach out to Neil Patel and Rand Fishkin. To get Neil Patel, we wrote plus 100 comments on his YouTube channel. We wrote, we commented, not bullshit like, thank you, great content, so valuable. No. Just to bring extra value. Then we got his attention. And when I sent this email, he replied, okay, let's do it. Let's make this episode, you know. Yeah. Even big people, big influencers can take him because, he's so busy. So, by the way, let's speak about busy people, you know, like big fish. Big fish, someone who has no time, you know, they're busy. But we need to reach out to them to find a way because they are decision makers. And you mentioned you don't need to sell in the first email. Probably we can do it in the second or third. But busy people have no time. They don't have no time to read one email, second email. I mean, like, it means you need to build connection, to warm connection, especially for busy people who have no time for anything like that. So
send them a letter. I mail out letters every day. Nobody. You have to be where nobody else is.
Okay.
Right. And again, if this is a big enough prospect, if you're selling, if you're making $5, $10, $20,000, send them some mail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, nobody wants to do it. Oh, it costs money and it takes time and it's not scalable. Okay. Keep sending them emails into the void, you know? But look, busy people, you know, the old saying is, if you want something done, give it to a busy person. Okay, busy people find a way to get things done. So if it is interesting, if it is entertaining, if it is informative, they'll take the time. You know, you have to show them how being on your podcast benefits them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so do these busy people have an assistant? Do they have a partner? You know, you'll always have like the outgoing flamboyant one. Maybe they're hard to reach, but the operations manager, the quiet one, you know, with their head down, maybe they're more accessible, or vice versa. Right. So you have to start with them and then look at their circle of influence. Do you have a connection in common? You know, but like a real connection. So many of us now, we have thousands and thousands of connections. So I can't really refer or recommend, you know, people that I don't truly know. Find an interest. You know, if you see that I'm into jiu-jitsu, if you mail me, it could be a $5 patch. It could be a jiu-jitsu book. It could be a bumper sticker, you know, for $3 or $4. I mean, and it can just be on Amazon, right? Send it with a note. Hey, I saw you like jiu-jitsu. You know, love to catch up one day. I'll make time for you. You know, but people don't do that. They want to just spin an email and send it from another hidden email address.
Yeah.
I think that's hard.
The era of lazy salespeople is that, you know. So
today,
if you need attention, you need to work hard to get this attention, to become creative.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway, Wes, let's discuss about golden button that people want to get, like AI to click one button to get sales pitch, to get sales, everything. Is it ready yet or not? Because you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast, it's important to humanize, but anyway, we can't ignore AI. AI can help. Can you tell how AI can help you? And can you get like 90% of the job done by AI?
Probably, yeah. I tell people I'm a great anti-goal setter. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is I know what irritates me. I know what is tedious, what is boring. So I create tools, AI scripts, AI agents, mm-hmm. to get those boring, tedious things off my plate. So then I have more time and energy and desire to make the connections that matter. Okay, so you know, I'm building agents right now, and that can do research. Like I still do all my own writing, right? But I'll have AI. I've got one that'll give me a summary of a Twitter thread. It'll summarize an article. I can give it a topic, and it'll give me a blog post, like 1,300 characters, and you can set the length or whatever. So at least I'm not staring at a blank screen. So then I'll go and write over the top of it, edit it, and make it my own. So you can do things like that to accelerate your work. Most people hate speaking. Most people hate writing. Okay. But you've got to get good at both. And so maybe you write something, put it into AI, you know, the tool, and let it improve it, but it still is yours. Because the thing, it's like catfishing, right? Call these filters on social media. People, they look so pretty, they seem so smart, that you meet in person and you're like, you don't recognize the person. So if you sell a high ticket item that requires a phone call, a video meeting, an in-person meeting, if AI is doing all the work and you seem like some wise, caring, smart, intelligent, savvy individual, and you meet in person and you can't live up to that, you've wasted everybody's time. You're not making that sale.
Yeah.
Or you may make a sale at a deep discount, because there's a thing called congruency. Okay. And that's why I say to make any sale, you must make every sale. If things seem incongruent, it's similar to consistency, but it's deeper, it's wider. The message to market match has to be real. If you look, you know, like your emails are all funny and witty and, you know, referencing, you know, old movies and artists and song lyrics. Oh, this is so fun, so quick. And I meet you and you're like, hi, good to see you. Would you like to buy my stuff? You know, it's like, it's such a huge disconnect. You know, the old adage is a confused mind says no. So that lack of congruency and consistency, because you relied on technology to make you look good.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to say no. And you wasted everybody's time. And then I'm going to run across somebody asking for a recommendation or, hey, have you ever worked with this company? Yeah, I did. I met with them in person. You know, we talked for a few weeks. We finally met. It just something seemed off. I don't know, man. You know, look closely before you give them your money. How's that working out for you?
Yeah.
You know, that's the risk.
Yeah. And I have my final question, but very important question for my audience. I still get this question in another niche, but anyway, I want to ask about the future. You know, people are scared about the future. You know, my opinion is similar to many other opinions. I think, like, if you can drive AI, you can win in the future, because it's tough to compete with someone who is driving AI. If you ignore this tool, of course, the future will be tough, you know, because you can't compete against someone who can use AI. And you mentioned that you use AI agents today. And what do you think about the future? It can be like AI agents will do the entire process without human touch, without human, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't see how AI can sell to AI, but AI still need to sell to humans. So your opinions about the future, I mean, like, what kind of future will be in sales?
Well, so look at virtual assistants,
mm-hmm.
right? Everybody, you would hire a VA to do your work or to do send an email, right? And then everybody had a VA. They were sending so many emails, making so many calls. Then I hired a VA to read the emails and to answer the calls and to filter you out, right? Yeah. And they were probably sitting right next to each other in the same office in the Philippines. You know, they should have just looked over the wall and said, hey, is your guy buying? Nope, not that crap. You know, it just saved us all some money.
Yeah.
So, you know, your VA was messaging my VA. Now your AI is going to message my AI. It's anybody that can tell you they know what the future holds right now is just full of crap. It's changing so fast, you know, but it is here to stay. It is coming on faster than anything we've ever could ever comprehend. I remember reading the story, like in the early days of the railroad, you know, before the railroad, everybody got around in horses.
Yeah.
And so they were accustomed to judging like the speed of a horse. You know, it's like, hey, get out of the way. This guy is running fast on a horse. Well, there was like some politician they were meeting, you know, to celebrate some new rail line. And he stepped on the tracks. He was just crossing to go see some other people. He misjudged the speed of the train, got ran over and died. Okay. So that's like AI is coming. It's coming along so fast. People can't even comprehend. And they don't even, most people have never thought in terms of systems and processes. So, you know, 2008, I found Infusionsoft. So I've been building marketing campaigns and automation tools, you know, for 17, 18 years. And so I understand the process. So it's a shorter learning curve for me, but I'm still kind of overwhelmed because it's not limited to just, routing a lead to a round robin lead assignment, tagging them, sending an email, you know, assigning a task to somebody to make a call. You know, all of that was life changing 17 years ago. These AI tools can do damn near everything, right? It can write, it can create images, it can make calls, it can receive calls. It's crazy. So I don't even know what to say. There's things like the trades. AI won't replace plumbers. You know, yeah. They won't replace, you know, electricians. but they're using AI. My 11-year-old daughter has had a 3D printer for a year. She's making things like these little widgets. Mm-hmm. This thing, or fidget, right? Look how intricate this is. This thing, it goes front to back. It goes back to back. Okay. Uh-huh. And an 11-year-old made this on a 3D printer.
Ooh,
So 3D printers now can make homes. Okay. It looks like a tube of toothpaste. It's spitting out and it's just running and building the walls, building the gaps for the windows. So even the trades are going to be affected. Okay. You're still going to need humans. Okay. Doing that. So AI is going to touch everything, just like the internet has touched everything.
Yeah.
But if you have an idea, where it would have taken a year or 5 years and 50 or 100 developers to test it, to build a viable product, two smart dudes and some AI can do that now. So everything's going to be affected. My wife is not technical at all. She has a paid a ChatGPT Pro account. Mm-hmm. She was diagnosing her mother when she was in the hospital. She's creating a home. She just created a homeschool curriculum in her car, sitting at a stoplight. Okay. So it's going to affect everything. So I remember I was 21 years old. I was at the Air Force Academy. I asked my stepbrother, he was older and already savvy about investing. I'm like, how do I learn about this? And he said, buy a subscription to Fortune magazine or one of those that were popular back then. He says, buy a subscription, read it cover to cover for a year and you'll know what to do. And when you're 21 years old, like that's not the answer you want. You want immediate instant gratification, right? But the reality is you can't stay ignorant of AI today.
Yeah.
So look on YouTube. And you got to drill down, find someone that you like, someone that has a good style, and go binge on their stuff. And so you can pick up the cadence and the nuances and start to get educated on it. And then you can branch out, find other things, but there's so much free content, hell, use free ChatGPT, free Grok, free Gemini, and type in some questions and say, how do I learn about AI?
Yeah.
Here's my situation. I'm a single mom. I'm a married mother. I'm 50 years old. I'm 20 years old. I have this idea. I want to get in shape. I want to eat better. I made yesterday an AI agent that'll give you recipes based on the ingredients. Say, I've got these 10 things in my cupboard. What can I make? Here you go. So it affects everything. So don't just say it's too confusing. I can't understand it. It's like, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
It's like if my father can have an iPhone and FaceTime me, okay, then you can learn AI.
Yeah. Today is the best time. I mean, I remember when I was young, to find knowledge, I should find library to go there, to get subscription, to search for the special book, to find special pages, or read the entire book. Today, Google, YouTube, ChatGPT.
Well, that's just it. It's too simple. People don't have to work for it, so they don't appreciate it. My mom was just here, and we were laughing about she'd come home, and there'd be all these kids scattered around our house because we were the only ones with an Encyclopedia Britannica, right? Mm-hmm. So, 15, 20 books. A to Z of just stuff. That was our Google, right? You had to pull a book out and skim through it. So now, literally everything is right in front of you. But now people, they just want to be entertained. They want to watch Messier, kick the ball around.
Yeah.
Instead of learning how to build an AI agent.
Nice. Nice. Wes,
is there a question I saw popped up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it was gone. I saw it said one question, but
I don't know. Fardin, if you want to ask this question, please ask now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He didn't ask. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Wes, it's a big pleasure to get on my show, to learn from you. I love this stuff. And I see you're a great marketer and sales person, you know, because for me, I mean, like in marketing, it's important to bring value as much as possible. So you did it, you know, you provide, by the way, I didn't want to ask one more question. How do you find mailing address of prospects? Oh, interesting.
Well, for America, it's easy. And I say it's easy, you know, more people are working from home now. So, it can be a little more difficult, you know, office addresses are just, they're on the web, you know, but if you, you know, in the US, usually if somebody owns a mortgage, you know, if they own a home that has a mortgage, that's public record. Mm-hmm. So you can look up people. And, so you want to cross-reference and make sure it's the correct person, you know, but there are, you know, there's common names like a John Smith, you know, but like, there's not too many Wes Schaefers in Murrieta, California, you know? So if they have a little bit of a unique name and if you can drill down the exact city, and usually you can find that, right? You could have an AI agent that scrapes, looks up, job title, you know, industry. And so now you pull that information out. Now you look up individuals with that name in that city. Again, cross references, pull up a sheet, you know, you can start to drill down. So there are subscription services, you know, there's things like Apollo and whatever. So you can buy lists. And again, it's typically an office, but if they work at a big company, you can call and say, hey, how do I get a letter to this person? Mm-hmm. And they'll probably say, you know, they'll take it and they may package up all their mail and send it to them. I know more than one person that has that. They have an assistant that just every week puts in a box and FedExes them all of their physical mail that they got at the office.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a little harder now with COVID and working from home, but you can find them.
Yeah. Yeah. So you need to work a little bit harder. Yeah. Or Apollo is a well-known tool in sales. So subscription doesn't cost a lot. So yeah.
But it's like, yeah, you can find my address. And a lot of people are anonymous. They, you know, they'll have a PO box maybe for their business. That's, you know, they're individuals. I mean, but I have my home address. It's on the web. I've never been worried. So and a lot of people are like that. They'll just use their home address for their business, you know, because they work from home, they're entrepreneurs, they own their own business. So I think it's a little easier than you think, but it's harder than it was 6 years ago.
Yeah, 100%. So basically, if you can't find any mail, just skip it, you know, you can find many other emails, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, it's all the same. I don't waste a lot of time if I can't do this job. So basically, you need to estimate your time, how much you can spend for one recipient, and to do this
build,
job.
Yeah, and look, I've, like I said, since going back to 2008, 2007, I've always said, look at what you do two or three times a day or four or five times a week. If you do something that often, have a process for it and automate it if you can. So if you're wasting time looking up addresses, build an AI agent to go do the research. It may take you a day or two to figure it out, but once you build it, that thing will run forever. I have nurture sequences running nonstop now for 17 years since I first built it in 08.
Wow.
So yes, it's frustrating. Yes, you feel like you're wasting time, but I promise you, you're learning a skill. And once you build one of these, you can clone it and then, you know, delete some pieces you don't need, add the new ones and publish. So you'll get faster and faster and faster the more you do it.
Awesome. Wes, thank you so much. You know, a big pleasure to get on my show. I love this experience. I'm going to publish this episode on Spotify, Apple. Guys, if you have any extra questions, you can reach out to Wes directly, but don't use AI templates. Please personalize without flattery. If you want to get less attention, you need to personalize the message. You can use mail, email, it doesn't matter. Just personalize and you can highlight jiu-jitsu, you can highlight anything like that. So find the right way. Thank you, Wes, so much. Tell the best way how to reach out to you, how to follow you.
Yeah, so just look up The Sales Whisperer. It's like it says there on the video if they're watching, but it's thesaleswhisperer.com.
Yeah, okay, guys, you can find the link in the description below. Listen us on Apple, Google, Spotify, and see you next time.